Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
The situation that we were in was really just a period of rapid growth. And so I didn't feel like there would be negative impacts. I went around and started asking questions because there were a lot of people doing that for a lot of different reasons at that point in time. I was supported by one particular leader in our location who I reported into in building my network, right? So as I got up to speed and started becoming more comfortable with this kind of stuff, she was really helpful in guiding me. Here's the next person you should try to get connected with, or trying to get me plugged in to more of the leadership levels. So I would say where there is support in the organization, it can be hugely helpful, not just at dealing with the task at hand, but also from a personal perspective, having that support to build your network.
When chaos hits, most leaders feel the pressure to have all the answers, me included. But what if the real power of leadership is knowing the right questions to ask and seeking out the right people to ask them? In this episode of Transformation Unfiltered, Lauren Jenkins takes us inside a career-defining moment, stepping into a leadership role during a high-stakes acquisition, only to have her go-to expert walk out the door. With hundreds of market-sensitive trades on the line, she had to quickly turn panic into a playbook, one built on stakeholder clarity, smart escalation, and preparing teams to navigate the unexpected with confidence. If you've ever led through uncertainty, or even wondered how to equip your team for challenges that you can't predict, this conversation is for you. Lauren Jenkins, Vice President at JP Morgan Workplace Solutions, has more than 15 years of experience supporting Fortune 100 financial institutions by navigating massive transformations in the equity compensation space. Lauren holds an MBA and undergraduate finance from Ohio State and is a strategic customer and employee experience leader. Her focus on cross-functional collaboration and her ability to lead through ambiguity and complexity have allowed her to rapidly scale customer support teams and successfully lead them through acquisitions and multi-year transformation efforts. Lauren is so passionate about career development that she served as a global mobility advisor and also served as a mentor to dozens of employees over the course of her career. Outside of work, she loves traveling with her husband and spending time with her family. Lauren also enjoys volunteering with the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Administration to help students learn more about the stock market. I can't wait to hear what Lauren has to say. Welcome, Lauren, to the show. We're so glad to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm delighted and I'm really excited to share your story today with our listeners. So before we jump into the messy moment, I would love for you maybe to just orient us to the scene, set the stage, tell us a little bit about where you're coming from.
I have spent my career in financial services and somehow found myself entering the financial services job market right around the same time as the 2008 financial crisis was happening. Quite an interesting time, starting at a new company, was at Morgan Stanley, and even just within my first few weeks of being there, it was clear the turmoil going on internally, just so much uncertainty in terms of what was coming.
I'm just rewinding back to that time in my career. I was also in financial services, and that was a really hectic time, but that went beyond financial services because it hit almost everybody in the country and beyond. And here you are, earlier in your career, thrust into a new job in the middle of probably what was the biggest financial crisis many people can remember.
Absolutely. Quite overwhelming, but I started in a service desk and was supporting client calls and did really well with that role and quickly made my way into internal support roles and then ultimately to a new area that we were opening as a result of the joint venture with Smith Barney at the time to support our stock plan business. And our corporate clients would have the employees of their companies contacting us for support. And it could be things like trading their company shares. So it was my first foray into actual licensed, market-sensitive type of work.
So before, you were customer-facing, you were supporting folks, you were helping people to find their way with the different questions, and you probably were a high performer, which gave you license to go into this more complex and sensitive area of trading. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So I found myself in this new position. I was learning a lot and came up for a promotion to lead the team in Ohio. And I ended up being selected for that position, which was great, but it resulted in one of my key experts that I had worked most closely with actually leaving the firm. So suddenly I found myself with all this responsibility and not any support, at least not that I could see.
Okay, so you're a young professional. You've always done really well in your roles. You have climbed the ladder. And then you move into this new area, trading, and you go for kind of a leadership role in that space. You win the role, and then the person that, you know, you would look to as a subject matter expert leaves.
Yes. And right around this time, we were dealing with a lot of reviews and cleanup of things as we were integrating systems. So there was certainly a lot of work being done that did not have predefined ownership or escalation processes.
Yeah. As you were taking stock of your new role, tell me a little bit about what kind of was that internal dialogue inside your mind as you were taking stock of what you were now in charge of.
So part of me was very excited, very much feeling like all of my hard work is paid off. I'm being recognized. Certainly tons of people were cheering for me. But on the other side of the coin, I was having imposter syndrome. I was very worried that maybe I've gotten myself in over my head and being the person that other people were looking to for expertise at a level that I had not previously been depended on or looked to for.
Yeah. So there's mixed emotions. You can be excited and maybe freaking out a little. That's my words, not yours. All at one time. When you were experiencing that energy of excitement and newness and pride side by side with a little bit of that, maybe she doesn't have her own stuff or whatever, what would I have noticed if I was hanging out with you at the lunchroom that day? What would I have noticed on the outside?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that I've always prided myself in, even from the start of my career, was building relationships. Yeah. And so I had relationships with a lot of people within the team I was managing, and the interactions that I was having around that time were so positive, and hearing from people who would say things like, you deserved it, we're so glad to have you at the lead. From that end, I felt great, and I think I was conveying a very positive outward vibe. But when it came to some of the actual work we were being asked to do, I would get into panic mode. And this would sometimes result in me quietly crying at my desk, hoping that no one would see as I'm going through the spreadsheet and not really making sense of what I'm trying to figure out from it. And so I know that people observed the stress that I was going through, but I really was trying to make sure that I wasn't causing panic in everyone around me.
So you felt a huge sense of responsibility to be able to carry the load and a lot of support around you. Nonetheless, it was a daunting task.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Forgive me if I'm going to make an observation. You just lit up as you talked about the relationships and how you had people around you that were cheering you on. And then you said something about the things you had to do, and that was stressful. Your whole face changed. So tell me a little bit about what was stressful about being in new territory for you.
Yes. So this was a completely new set of systems for me. We were taking massive amounts of orders. So I was getting these huge spreadsheets with trade details. And some of it was comparing old system versus new system. Some of it was actually having to take action and make sure that the request had made it over as expected to the new platform. And so part of it was just volume. There were so many, and I didn't really have people around me that I could pull in on this effort because we were just starting to build out the operation. And my experts were really mostly people at my level as peers. Yeah. And then I lost the one that was most knowledgeable in this area. And so I really found myself trying to navigate this without someone who had been alongside me really teaching me this stuff as I was coming into this new area and learning these new systems.
So a real curveball for you.
It really was.
Yeah. What happened in that situation where you had this person that was teaching you and then suddenly you find yourself without that resource?
Yeah. So, you know, basically that individual had decided that they didn't see the opportunity in the situation anymore. It was very sad to see them depart. And then I was just sitting there going, oh my God, this is all on my shoulders. I'm going to potentially cause trade losses. I'm going to get fired. I was going straight to worst case scenario mode. And then obviously I reached a point where I that wasn't productive. I wasn't getting done what I needed to get done by panicking. So I took a step back and I reached outside of the immediate team that I was working with, and I identified other stakeholders that I was not yet familiar with who could help me and help answer the questions I had. I was doing the task that was assigned to me, but I was not given the context of who my support system would be in completing that task.
I think that's a really great reflection, is that you said that you went to worst case scenario and then you realized that wasn't productive or serving you. What was it? How do you find the clarity to say, wait a second, this isn't serving me? Because when I get in that mode, I just might just keep going.
Yeah, it is a really tough thing. And in that particular circumstance, I was running out of time. There were tasks that I needed to complete, and I needed to complete them quickly. And I knew that if I wasted too much time panicking and swirling and not actually getting to the answers that I needed, that I simply was not going to be able to complete the task. And then we really would have potential financial implications.
So that deadline, that time frame really created kind of a, you got to get going here. Awesome. Yeah. And you decided to pick your head up and you looked out beyond the edges of your immediate network. Talk to me more about what prompted that and what gave you the courage to reach out?
One of the big things that I have learned as I have continued on in my career is, especially working in very large companies like I have, there are often resources out there that you may just not be aware of yet. Yeah. And when you're first starting out, you often only know the things that are put in front of you and the contacts that are put in front of you. And as you shift into leadership, it's less of following through on what's put in front of you and actually being the one to map that out for other people, figure out who can help you. I think it was an aha moment for me as I was fairly early on in my leadership journey. It's not always going to be spelled out very clearly who you can go to if you have questions. And sometimes you have to be the one to ask around and find out. So I leveraged the little network that I did have, right? The few people that I had met along the way, and just said, hey, who do you think can help me with this? I know you're not the right person, or I don't think you're the right person, but I think you might know.
That takes courage. I think that sometimes getting to a question instead of having the answers takes a process. So what gave you the big idea to go to somebody and say, do you know? Do you know somebody who does?
I think part of it was just realizing that the people that I was going to that I thought had all the answers just had the right resources to go to. Yes, there are very knowledgeable people, and there were certainly lots of things that they could answer off the top of their heads, but they also felt very comfortable that they had people they could go to and ask or escalate to if they were ever in doubt.
One of the things that stood out to me, as you said, I realized that things weren't always going to be so easily spelled out. And now I was the one kind of helping other people to navigate that. So this is a multi-layered experience. You're experiencing it for yourself and you're taking a whole team along for the ride with you. So tell me a little bit about what being a leader during this time for you meant.
Yes. So I found this to be true during that acquisition and very much so in acquisitions since. When you have two big companies coming together, and in some cases it's multiple companies coming together, there is always going to be some ambiguity or some confusion that needs to be addressed. And sometimes that isn't discovered until you actually have the conversations and ask the questions.
When you think about the types of questions that were helpful to you along the way, what were they?
So the biggest thing for me is knowing who the stakeholders are. This is something that I have taken every time, an approach that I've taken every time I've encountered a new situation and we have new people in the mix, is just outlining who's responsible for what, who's my expert on what, and who can I go to with questions. And usually once you know who those experts are, you can throw just about any question that you have at them and they'll either know the answer or they'll know who else they can connect you with.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
I talk to a lot of people who put a lot of weight on themselves to have the answers. What was it like not to have the answers?
That was absolutely me to a T. I think before I encountered this situation is like, I need to be the person that has all the answers. And this was a huge learning opportunity for me because I'm never going to have all the answers, I think is what I finally realized in that moment. I was coming from, I would say, an areas of our business that are a lot more cut and dry. And coming into this new area of stock plans where there's so much more complexity and it would truly be impossible for any one person to have all of the answers. But if I know who my points of contact are and who I can leverage expertise from, I have what I need.
That's powerful. I think being tied into the system, the network, the human beings around you, and having a little bit of courage to say, I don't have all the answers, do you? Or do you know somebody that does? Can really make a huge difference. When you were doing that, what kinds of things were in place that made it safe to do that? Because some places you might get reprimanded for not having the answers.
Yeah, it's a very good point. The situation that we were in was really just a period of rapid growth. And so I didn't feel like there were would be negative impacts. I went around and started asking questions because there were a lot of people doing that for a lot of different reasons at that point in time. I was supported by one particular leader in our location who I reported into in building my network, right? So as I got up to speed and started becoming more comfortable with this kind of stuff, she was really helpful in guiding me. Here's the next person you should try to get connected with, or trying to get me plugged in to more of the leadership levels. So I would say where there is support in the organization, it can be hugely helpful, not just at dealing with the task at hand, but also from a personal perspective, having that support to build your network.
Yeah. So not only did you go out and you went out and asked the questions, but you found somebody that was at a different point in the organization, had a different perspective and could connect you in different ways and championed that a little bit?
Yes, exactly.
That's great. How did you find that person? Everybody wants to find a champion, I think, or should try to.
Yeah, I think it's when you are a genuine person and you're thankful for the things that people are doing to help you, it sometimes those people will naturally surface. So sometimes it just feels like if you are a good person and you treat other people, you know, the way you would want to be treated, then your helpers naturally start to surface. And so if it's someone that, you know, I ask a question to and they gave me a quick answer, fine, great, I got what I needed. But then you're going to have some people that give you the answer. They also tell you where to find it and they tell you who the expert is you should ask. That's probably somebody I'm going to keep asking. And I'm also going to make sure that I'm very grateful to that person so that they keep helping me.
What struck me is in this time, all this is going on in the middle of a huge financial crisis and merger. People are probably all asking a bunch of questions, yet you had the calm and peace of mind to be able to recognize when somebody gives you a little extra and then lean into that instead of just checking it off your list. Tell me more about what made you so conscientious at that moment.
Honestly, I'm not sure that I had that kind of clarity at the time. I think as I have moved forward in my career, I've often found myself looking to other people and saying, I really want to emulate or I really do not want to emulate the behaviors. And just from a practical perspective, right, I want to be the person that is giving you all the information so that you can self-service next time you have a question, if you have one, or you know who your resource is. Like, I want to equip you with all of that information up front rather than you having to come back and keep asking more questions. And so it was just natural for me to say, that's the kind of person I want to be. And so that's generally going to be the kind of people that I gravitate to.
I love that. And it sounds like you were a mixture of your openness and gratitude mixed with a little maybe of chance and luck. This person came into your sphere and helped you guys found your way. So one lesson is really to capitalize on your network and ask questions. Any other lessons that came about from this pretty chaotic time?
So I think one of the other pieces that I take away from this and apply to this day is just maintaining composure while also being authentic. So it has to be a balance because we don't want to necessarily bring every stressful thing that comes across our desks to our team and say, hey, you should be stressed about this too. There is a huge amount of opportunity in making sure that people understand what the challenges are. If I think about preparing my team to eventually take on my role, right? I don't want them to come into my role and be shocked, like, wow, you seemed like everything was great all the time, and now I'm in your role and it's a mess. So giving a good balance of, I'm going to be genuine and authentic with you and fill you in on what's going on, but also delivering that message in a composed way so that we're not causing unnecessary panic.
That's powerful. I think a lot of us may, in a moment where we're not feeling so composed, really struggle to find the composure. And that can make us feel stiff or not authentic. So any tips you have, whether it's habits or guideposts for folks that are trying to walk that balance between composure and authenticity?
Walking away and taking a moment is a powerful one, right? Like, sometimes there are going to be things that are thrown at you that are overwhelming, and you just need a moment to feel your feelings in private and then figure out how you're going to discuss it with everyone else. Aside from that, I'm a big fan of grounding exercises. So breathing, deep breathing. There's exercises where you think about a feeling going through your body and you're focused on each point in your body, and it just brings you back into yourself and out of your racing thoughts. Those are things that I do on a daily basis. Just as things come my way, it's become second nature, but those things certainly weren't back at that point in time.
How did you find them? It sounds like they're ingrained in your habits now. Tell me how you found that.
Yeah, I spoke with a therapist. So I was dealing with a lot of really work-driven anxiety. And despite my knowing that I have a network of people to help with, I do tend to be that person that puts all the weight on my shoulders. So through therapy, just talking through what are some ways we can deal with this in practice, tactical applications, and then just thinking bigger picture. Not worst case scenario thinking, but it's almost the opposite of that. Okay, if the worst case scenario happened, big deal. What is the worst thing that actually can happen? And maybe that's not the end of the world. No one is going to die in the work that we're doing.
So a little reality checking and finding yourself where you are, not trying to race. I love the idea of coming back to your breath and your body to find, okay, because it can really feel like an out of body experience when you're panicking.
It can.
That's powerful. I think that even the most collaborative of leaders can carry a big weight on their shoulders. And so it's really important to have those kind of ways to ground yourself and help yourself to be at your best. And I'm so glad that you shared that with us.
Of course.
So walking the line between composure and being authentic, reaching into your network, all of those things probably helped you to get to where you are today. Can you tell me how that has shaped you as a leader and kind of the three big takeaways you have from those times?
Yes. So One of the big things that comes to mind for me as someone who is continuing to lead the charge through integrations and large transformation type of situations is I don't want anybody on my team to feel the weight of the world on their shoulders like I did back during that time. It is one of the biggest things that I stress as a leader is we're all in this together. If there's something that is on your plate that you're having trouble figuring out, it is on all of us to work together and find the right people to help us get an answer or address the problem. Having a clear stakeholder mapping for the teams, places they can go to escalate, being very thoughtful about change management. And if we're going to change the tools and systems, making sure everybody feels very well prepared. And then there's always going to be some element of unexpected. So just expect the unexpected, that there's going to be things that come up that maybe don't fit into that stakeholder mapping. Defining a process for what the team should do if something comes up, rather than just sitting there going, oh my gosh, I can't figure this out.
I love that you're talking a little bit about expecting the unexpected. It's an oxymoron. But it sounds like you've even built plans for what are we going to do when something comes our way we weren't expecting. How did you come to that? It's a great idea.
Yeah. And it's not because you don't know what you're potentially going to encounter. You could drive yourself crazy trying to think about all the possibilities. The important part is that you define a path. So if you come up with an issue that doesn't fit within the structure and guidelines that we've talked about, you can reach out to this person or you can reach out to me. And sometimes it's different depending on maybe what topic it's related to, but giving them some guidelines for who are the experts you would pull in to try to get a decision on this or to try to get some clarification on who owns it and who can give us the answer. So it's less about mapping out in detail all of the possibilities because you really can't, and more of a just setting a general path for people to follow so that they don't feel like they have nowhere to go.
Yeah. So you're not saying it's an if-then chart because that would be exhausting and nearly impossible, but rather leaning into the community that you have around you, finding people that might know or people that might know people who might know, and That's having right. the faith to rely on the human system alongside the other systems that you guys have set up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as you've led people with that, tell me a little bit about how they react. What is it like to be on your team?
Yeah, so I think one of the things, aside from what I had mentioned previously about we're all in it together, is focusing on what we can do instead of what we can't do. I try to do this as a leader as well as instilling that within my team. So really trying to take a positive attitude towards everything that comes across our desk. And there may sometimes be things that come up where we simply don't have a solution or an answer for it. But what we can do is work together to come up with an appropriate response in that situation. It's really important to me that my team feels supported. And again, that they don't ever feel like everything is all on their shoulders. So being on my team, I would hope they would say, feels like a place where we're all working towards the same goals and we're all supporting each other in achieving those goals.
That sounds like a great team to be on.
Thank you.
I think one of the things I really love about what you said is to focus on what you have in front of you. We might not have the answers. We might not be able to change the bigger economic picture, but what we do have is we have each other. We have solved many problems before. We're smart people. We've been through things before. We have that. And you also have the ability to really zone in on what you individually and collectively are good at. So I think that focusing in on what you have is really powerful and can help you to overcome a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
That's a great lesson. If you are going to give advice to somebody 15 years your junior, and maybe there was a financial crisis and they were thrust into this role where they were really a high performer, but now they're in charge of all these other people and don't have all the answers, what advice would you give to someone in those shoes?
So I think the biggest thing that I did not do in that coming into that role that I have done in roles since is take some time right out of the gate to start introducing yourself to and building relationships with stakeholders, especially the ones that are not face to face. You can't just grab a coffee with them. you need to get on Zoom or try to build those relationships with people outside of your location, especially in a very large distributed company, you're just simply not going to have all of the resources under one roof. And so spending that time just saying, hi, I'm here. I'm new to this role. Let's talk about how we're going to work together. Let's talk about what kind of questions you might be able to help answer for me. So that way, before you even get to having to map your stakeholders, you've already gotten the input from the stakeholders themselves on what they can be helpful with.
You're proactively setting up your community, getting to know people. And I think you mentioned in a large distributed company, but even in organizations that may not be that large and distributed, if we're having folks that are working different hybrid work schedules, it's very important today to proactively cultivate those relationships. How do you make that call? That seems hard to some people. I think to me, sometimes calling somebody you've never met before, maybe they have a fancy couple of letters after their name. How do you do that?
It's a little intimidating. It does help a lot if you can build your list with the input of other people. So especially going into a new company where you really don't have any established connections, leaning on the people that have been there and saying, hey, who do you think my key people that I should meet should be? And what are some things that you've worked with them on? It can be an awkward conversation if you go into it and it's just, hi, my name and what's your name and that's it. You want to have a little bit of discussion points ready in terms of questions you may have about that person's scope or how they can work with you or help you. I find that once you start getting them going a little bit on that stuff, the conversation flows pretty naturally.
What are some of the favorite things that you've asked people?
Yeah, so I love to just ask people about their background. I've encountered quite a few colleagues over my career that have actually been helpful in connecting me based on past roles network and not even the one that they're in now. So getting an understanding of where people have been, where they're coming from, experts they may have access to, and then just getting a clear sense of their scope and even sometimes asking them, who are your stakeholders? Who do you go to when you have something that you can't resolve? And that can help expand that network even more broadly.
It's like you're pulling a little thread and it keeps on going.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, I know people are going to want to pick your brain at some point about how did you do that and how can I do that? So where can people find you, Lauren?
Yes, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm linkedin.com/ Lauren Harash Jenkins. Harash is H-R-O-S-C-H.
Wonderful. And we'll have that in the show notes along with where to find you and some information about your bio. And Lauren, thank you so much for sharing your lessons and the messy moments along the way. I'm so glad you made it through that, what seemed like probably one of the biggest challenges of your career. So you could be here to share it with us today.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank you.
So folks, if you loved this episode as much as I did, I encourage you to listen to Transformation Unfiltered. The things that really stood out to me today about what Lauren shared is do what you can do. Don't try to think about what you can't do because you'll have a long list and it's pretty disempowering. So when Lauren brought that to light, I was like, you know what? I could use that even today. So a great reminder, focus on what you have, but not what you don't. That spirit of abundance will really take you a long way. And really leaning into the people around you. We're humans, and humans are creatures that are social. And Lauren has exhibited that, hey, she didn't have to do it all alone, and she doesn't do it all alone on her team. She leans on other people and lets them lean on her. So as we walk through the work world and the world in general, counting on people around you and letting them count on you is something that's uniquely human and part of Lauren's leadership success. So please tune in next time to Transformation Unfiltered on your favorite podcast platform. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you've found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.